A real frontline patriot brings you his one-of-a-kind perspective on freedom versus tyranny. This is the world premiere of the Political Prisoner Podcast, powered by Gateway Pundit. Now, live from solitary confinement, here's your host, January Sixer, Jake Lang.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Political Prisoner Podcast. It's your host, Jake Lang. Right here, we're at the Jan 6 week. This is what it's all about. This is the time where the American public is going to be exposed to more truth in a single week than they probably would be all year, because everything is going to be highlighted in the media. Our voices are going to be amplified in the Jan 6 community. 3 years, political prisoners, me and many others, and I have one of my brave fellow compatriots joining me, 17 years in the Green Beret, Jeremy Brown, my brother. God bless you. Welcome to the Political Prisoner Podcast. Sorry it had to be under these situations.
Well, I appreciate you having me on, Jake.
Of course, man. You've been such a thoroughbred, a stalwart. I mean, just relentless in your approach and spreading the truth about January 6th. What the government's done to you has been unspeakable. After how much you've given your life and your energy, your efforts, your talents, your intelligence for this country to secure our constitutional republic, for 2 decades serving in the U.S. Army and the Special Forces as a master sergeant. You even left off as a special activities branch operator doing the oversight for clandestine ops for the Green Berets. I mean, your military record precedes you, and the fact that you've been sitting in prison for 819 days for trumped-up charges stemming from January 6th and from January 6th charges is one of the great justice travesties of our generation. And I can say that also in one myself, but I would say Jeremy's are far worse. I mean, because I was at Jan 6th and I have felony charges from January 6th. They're trying to silence Jeremy because of what he knows about January 6th and the kind of work that he's done his whole life. And so we're going to get into that, Jeremy.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just want the listeners who aren't familiar with my story to know that I'm not in jail because I was there on January 6th, because if that was the case, they would have arrested me in January, February, or March, just like they did all the other people that I was with. All the other people that were part of my security detail, Kelly Meggs, Jessica Watkins, Kenny Harrelson, that whole crowd is the group that the Department of Homeland Security and FBI's Joint Terrorism Task Force knew for 100% certain on January 5th that I was with. I am in jail because in December of 2020, the same agents that arrested me are the agents that approached me and attempted to recruit me to infiltrate the Oath Keepers, and I recorded that meeting. And so after January 6th, they didn't want anyone to know anything about me. When I exposed that recording on March 5th of 2020, they continued with their Ray Epps, there's nothing to see here about Jeremy Brown policy. And it wasn't until the independent media started to really expose some of the underlying disgusting behavior related to the Michigan governor kidnapping plot, as well as January 6th in general, that the FBI turned their attention to me to fabricate an investigation in order to arrest me on charges related to planted evidence against me almost 9 months after the fact, 1,000 miles away from Washington, D.C. So that is why I'm in jail, and it's likely why you probably haven't heard of me. It's because they don't want you to hear about me, because I'm the inverse image of Ray Epps. Ray Epps was involved, and they're trying to cover up his involvement and not punish him. They tried to involve me, but I refused, but recorded him and exposed that recording, and so therefore they had to arrest me and ensure that I was locked away for a very long time, and that through their information dominance, they make sure that nobody hears me, and if they do hear me, that they've done a good enough job at discrediting me as, you know, calling me a conspiracy theorist. This is a typical way that you discredit anybody who has recordings of you breaking the law.
Wow. I mean, yeah, this is the heart of the matter, guys. I mean, we have recordings. We have actual tangible evidence that the no better expert than Jeremy Brown to tell you about this on January 6th, an orchestrated event. And we're starting to unfold it, and we're going to unfold it for you guys right now and walk you through step by step. So let's go back, Jeremy, because I like to do this in a chronological order with my guests when we talk about January 6th. December 2020, where were you? How did they approach you? And lead us into January 6th. And give us your chronological approach so that the listeners can understand how this developed, how January 6th occurred, and their cover-up of it, and, you know, our current situation as political prisoners. Let's bring it back to December 2020.
So let me back up even a little bit further to November 30th, the election, all right? Watching the election confirmed to me what I've been watching develop over, you know, decades, but very – you know, specifically honing in on, you know, things that were happening throughout 2019, 2020, right? But watching the election issues that arose confirmed to me that things were at a climax, right? So November 9th of 2020, I joined the Oath Keepers in order to gain access to their leadership, in order to hold a meeting. Where at that meeting of the Florida Oath Keeper leadership, I warned them, November 22nd of 2020, I warned them that what is happening to them now, or what has happened to them, was about to happen to them. Because I saw the writing on the wall that they were an organization that was a resistance element to those who are seeking to destroy the United States, its sovereignty, and its constitutional framework of government. And so at that meeting, I told them that they were all about to be targeted for destruction. And based on FBI interviews, not many of them believe me. I guarantee you they believe me now, right? But there are at least two FBI Joint Terrorism Task Force confidential human sources that reported on that meeting, because I have the report. As a result of that November 22nd meeting, on December 4th, two Department of Homeland Security agents working on behalf of the FBI's Joint Terrorism Task Force came to my front door looking for me under a ruse that they were investigating social media posts I had made. This was a fabricated predicate in order to meet with me. Now, of course, I did not speak with them on December 4th. They gave some flimsy fake card. Once I confirmed that the email address was legitimate, I opened up a conversation via email in order to create a log and then set up a meeting where I met with these two federal agents. And I warned them that I was going to be recording the call. Now, maybe they didn't take me seriously, but I did meet with them. I did record the conversation. And for 20 minutes, they basically pet me on the head, tell me I'm a gorilla, how I'm really a great guy, they're just doing their job, they're just looking out for. And this is key. They mentioned something happening in January. But see, this is December 9th. January 6th did not exist on December 9th. In fact, January 6th did not exist until December 19th, when President Trump sent out the now famous tweet about how it's going to be wild. And I have copies of all the permits for January 6th, which weren't even filed. The earliest one so far that I've come across was filed on December 21st of 2020. So why are two Joint Terrorism Task Force agents talking about something happening in January as they're trying to get a retired Special Forces guy to infiltrate groups I may be associated with? They never specifically mentioned Oath Keepers, but I was only associated with groups this time, the Oath Keepers and the Special Forces Association. So at the time, I warned both groups that I was just contacted by federal agents, be aware. Now, again, January 6th hadn't been announced, so I did not put together at the time that this recruitment was a nefarious aspect of some false flag operation. I did, however, know that it was a total violation of the U.S. Constitution, and so I started to try to contact media outlets and things like that to turn over the recording. And then January 6th happened. I was in attendance as a volunteer member of the security detail. And like I said, I was on the detail with Kelly Meggs, Kenny Harrelson, Jessica Watkins, that whole crowd, all the seditious conspirators, right? In fact, the Epoch Times ran a large photo in one of their issues picturing me standing right next to Kelly Meggs. But see, the FBI knew all this, and yet they ignored me because they knew that I had the recording.
That's trying to cover their tracks, brother. I mean, it's...
You have 1 minute remaining.
They have you, you know, what they would call dead to rights with the other Oath Keepers, same place, same time, doing the same thing. But they try to sweep you under the rug as they throw Stuart Rhodes, 18 years, Kelly Meggs with 11 years, and, you know, Jess, 8 years, and they leave you alone. The common person, every person out there, when the logical brain should be saying, why are they trying to sweep Jeremy Brown under the rug? And because of what you know and what you're telling us right now is groundbreaking. And the people out there that have been hearing about January 6th was a setup for 3 years, this is what we're talking about.
Thank you for using security.
And Jake, guys, we have witnesses. Yep, we'll call back. I'll be back, guys.
Okay, thank you, Jake.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to Political Prisoner Podcast. I don't know if you guys are sitting on the edge of your seat like I am. This is that tangible, physical, you know, we have witness, I mean, credible witness understandings now of January 6th, and we're trying to bring this to you guys, Gateway Pundit listeners and readers out there, everybody on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, people on Blessed News Network. You've been hearing the Jan Sixers and even congressmen, everybody up and down in the conservative constitutionalist community saying January 6th was the setup. But that's a very opaque statement until you break it down. Like Jeremy Brown, 20 years in the Army Special Forces, 17 years a Green Beret. Credibility has a name. If you Google it, it's Jeremy Brown. And so we want to make sure that everybody's actually listening to this information, grasping onto it, processing it, and then using it to go forward and tell your friends, share this podcast, share this episode with people who don't understand what it means when you say January 6th was a setup. So let's go back into the logical step we were taking right there, Jeremy, when saying, why did they go after the other Oath Keepers but try to completely sweep you under the rug? And you only have misdemeanor charges from January 6th. Meanwhile, they hit these other guys with seditious conspiracy and put Stuart Rhodes away for nearly 20 years. Why did they leave you alone? Let's talk about that.
Well, you have to understand that, one, the government's complete narrative is fabrication from top to bottom, okay? And the Oath Keepers, the Proud Boys, and the Three Percenters are the patsies. They are the Oswalds. They are the, you know, Dutch communist or whatever. When Hitler framed the communists as the culprits behind the burning of the Reichstag, they were the patsies. When in reality, there was a whole different band doing all the dirty work, right? And so the narrative is that the Oath Keepers engaged in a plan to overthrow the United States government but leave their weapons in Virginia under the guard of, I believe, a 65-year-old man, okay? And the government claims that the plan was, I guess, if the takeover without weapons failed, the 65-year-old man was going to ferry the guns across the river, the Potomac, like George Washington, right? And then she was going to – I don't even know. Look, it's so ridiculous. I'm embarrassed even saying it out loud. But here's the reality. The FBI knew that I was with this group. They knew that I was in discussions, message boards. I was there when discussions about January 6th happened. January 6th was a security operation. The FBI knows this. They have the messages of me communicating with Roger Stone, advising him that we're there offering security and transportation if he needs any addition. I offered security and transportation to other people that I knew were going to be there as well. All documented. The FBI has this information. But the most ridiculous aspect of this is that Kelly Meigs, the head of the Florida Oath Keepers, whose actual profession is a used car salesman. He's not former military. He's not former law enforcement. But he was the head of the Florida Oath Keepers. And there's nothing wrong with being a used car salesman. Look, everybody's got to feed their family, right? But the idea that he had some plan to unarmed overthrow the U.S. government in conjunction with Stuart Rhodes, a former military police officer and lawyer, right, that they concocted this plan to unarmed overthrow the federal government, and that I was present, a 20-year special operations soldier who retired out of the Special Activities Branch of Special Operations Command Central, was involved in this and allowed it to happen, but yet somehow isn't one of the people that would be arrested in this so-called seditious conspiracy. In fact, I have publicly dared the federal government to indict me on seditious conspiracy because, see, that opens my defense to make all of this public, you know, record, which we'll still do, right? Because, see, I'm not stupid. I know how to read the law. And I'm prepared to fight it no matter what the cost. They know this is why they want me to not exist, right? But how absurd and how much does that defy logic that an expert, a 20-year expert, in fact, when as a civilian, I worked for Booz Allen Hamilton Special Operations University as a special operations subject matter expert. But this guy, me, just sat by as a used car salesman and a, you know, and Stuart Rhodes conspire to overthrow the United States government. It's absurd. It's ridiculous. And nobody with half a brain cell should ever entertain that it makes any sense at all. And that is why the FBI and the DOJ has done everything in their power to prevent me from being part of the January 6th story to the extent that the Washington Post on January 15th, ran an article on me, Jeremy Michael Brown. They totally used my whole full name. And the title of the article had something to do with how combat veterans are susceptible to conspiracy theories or whatever. I mean, I can definitely have my people get you the article, right? This article ran in the Washington Post on January 15th. A day after I was contacted by the author of this article and basically threatened that if I didn't comment, it wasn't going to look good for me. Now, how in the hell would the Washington Post know who the hell I was? How would they have known I was at January 6th? I wasn't on the F, much like Ray Epps, I wasn't put on and then taken off. I just was never on the FBI's most wanted for January 6th, but yet they have plenty of pictures, and those pictures were available to them immediately. Why? Because in November of 2020, they had a confidential human source in a meeting of which I ran the topic of the meeting. They had two agents recruit me on December 9th, of which I recorded. They had an agent contact me by phone on the morning of January 6th, and the evening of January 7th, of which we discussed the murder of Ashley Babbitt. I have the text message screenshot between the agents. So they knew that I was part of this group. They knew exactly what role I played, and yet nothing. They wanted me to not exist. So they also knew that I had a recording of them. And so what did they do? I suspect very highly, with almost 100% certainty, that the story was leaked to the Washington Post to discredit me beforehand by calling me what? a conspiracy theorist, right? Because they knew I had the recording. They knew I was trying to find somebody who would break the story. And so they run a preemptive story. Who runs a person's full name, altering it? Jeremy Michael Brown. I almost never read an article where your middle name is used. And yet, yeah, it makes American people, at least the American people on the left-leaning side of the political spectrum who read the Washington Post, knew exactly who I was, because when I came public, they wanted people to be able to say, wait a minute, isn't that the guy that they said is a big conspiracy theorist? But see, it's not going to work, because I understand how this type of warfare works, and I know the right questions to ask, and this is why the FBI is so diligent and desperate to prevent the revelation of the confidential human source material related to the Oath Keepers, Proud Boys, Three Percenters, and anyone else in January 6th. Because, see, all of the evidence can be found in these confidential human source files, of which I know exist because I have the Attorney General's guidelines regarding the use of FBI confidential human sources, and it literally states that any otherwise illegal activity committed by a confidential human source must be put into their source file, and that these activities must be calculated annually in a report to the Assistant Attorney General of the Criminal Division. This is in the FBI's own guidelines. And so when the Attorney General, the FBI Director, or all of these, whatever title they give them, sit in front of Congress and the Senate, and they are asked, did the FBI use confidential human sources to commit illegal actions, and they deny it or try to obfuscate from it, it's because they know that the truth about January 6th lies in what is very likely years' worth of reports and data in the confidential human source program of the FBI. And this is what I am going to get to the bottom of, because I know it exists, because that's what my office did in the military. All of these secret squirrel type things, our office had policy oversight over these types of operations. So I understand them. I've seen them work. I've employed them myself as a special forces operations sergeant in Iraq and as an NCIC in Afghanistan. And this is why I'm the FBI's worst nightmare.
Amen. Yes, I mean, the confidential human sources, you know, Fed surrection, that's literally what we're talking about. Federal plants, trained reporters.
How to move about their... You broke up. You're breaking up, Jake.
What I'm saying is this is what we talk about when we're saying Fed direction. The federal plants inside the crowd who had special directives, operations, that they were given plans of who to influence, where to incite, what to do to make January 6th transpire in the orchestrated manner that it did, so that they had their conservative boogeyman, the domestic terrorist conservative myth that they've been pushing. This is what they've been orchestrated from the beginning so that they can get Trump. His supporters are domestic terrorists, therefore Trump can't be president. There was an entire operation to create that narrative out of thin air. And for the most part, for 3 years, it's pretty much worked. But I'd say in the last 6 months, Jeremy, with the constant work from the January Sixers, the conservative real patriots out there that host podcasts and TV shows and you know, all those different things that have been unearthing and just been relentlessly pushing back, I'd say we're in a better position now, 3 years later, for the truth that you're speaking right now on the Political Prisoner podcast to actually get in and dig in and burrow in to the minds of the American people listening, where they become outraged enough to start tweeting right now to your senators, your congressmen. Who is Jeremy?
You have Jeremy? 1 minute remaining.
Justice for Jeremy Brown. Where's the 17-year Green Beret? Says January 6th is a setup. Bring him. need to be speaking, Jeremy, at the next January 6th Select Committee that's run by the Republicans. God willing, they do it. They have a spine, and they do it. You need to be the primary source. You need to be one of the people up there that gets an hour to speak and lay out what you're talking about.
And look, we have tried for over 2 years to get any member of Congress to do what you just said, and all we've heard is crickets. But we're still trying. But there are two groups of information that will blow.
The flood of American people is going to force our representatives to do as we will, because we are going to stand and say, you must listen to us. You must start a new January 6th Select Committee. We won't vote for you if you don't. Well, there's my brother. I'll be back, guys, too. You listen to the Political Prisoner Podcast with Jake Lang. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Political Prisoner Podcast. It's your host, Jake Lang. I'm coming to you live from the D.C. gulag, talking to my brother, Jeremy Brown. He's in another gulag down in Florida. He's a Jan 6 hero, Jan 6 political prisoner, 17 years, Green Beret. The guy's unstoppable. I listen to him speak. He really inspires me. The amount of force and the amount of truth that he is able to just bring in a short amount of time, guys, is a rare opportunity. So listen up. Get that wax out of your ears. Get on the edge of your seats and listen up to Jeremy, because he's just unpacking truth bombs here about January 6th that I believe one day will historically be referenced to the hard work that it takes to basically reverse an entire 300 million American people they've been lied to in a psyops. With all the social media, all of the mainstream media, MSNBC, CNN, Washington Post, New York Times, garbage that they've been selling to the American people for 3 years about January 6th, Jeremy and I were trying to do the hard work with your guys' help of unpacking and unraveling this government-orchestrated attack on the American people. And so before this next section begins, we're talking about the congressmen and women a little bit, and Jeremy's open call that nobody's reaching out. So here's what I want to do. Marjorie Taylor Greene, you retweeted me 2 weeks ago. I know this podcast is going to get to you. God bless you, sweetheart. Matt Gaetz, Representative Loudermilk, Massey, Gowdy, Gordon, Speaker Johnson, you guys are listening to me. I'm 5 miles away from you in the Washington, D.C. jail gulag. You need to reach out. My email address is j6truth@gmail.com. I will put you in direct contact with Jeremy Brown. That's the letter J, the number 6, truth@gmail.com. Reach out to me and my team so you can schedule a time to speak with Mr. Brown and get him up on a public, in the January 6th Select Committees, what we really need from you guys. Grow a pair. Please do something for us. I'm making an open plea to you. You're listening to me. We need your action, and I need you to reach out to me so I can put you in contact with this brave American hero that's being persecuted by his own government, 819 days in prison for nothing. That's my friend, and he needs to be heard by you guys. So that's my call to action. Reach out, j6truth@gmail.com. I'll put you in contact with Jeremy Brown, representatives of ours.
The government has cleared my schedule until December of 2027. So Laura Logan has been able to come and do a sit-down, face-to-face meeting with me. We spoke for about 2.5 hours. So certainly a member of Congress can arrange to come. I will clear my schedule. I will skip REC. I will skip CHOW. I don't care about that. What I care about is getting the truth to the American people. But what the American people need to know, first of all, is that do not fall for the spillage containment technique of claiming, oh, well, if it was an operation, how come you don't know why? Because compartmentalized operations, by their nature and design, you will never get a smoking gun for all aspects. The key to exposing a compartmentalized operation are simple observations and basically a collective assessing of those operations, of those observations. And so there are three key areas of information where we could obtain about 75% of the truth that led up to January 6th, right? And these areas are number one key, okay? Because, look, the government's not that smart. They do put everything in some form of documents. It's how we know about Operation Northwoods. and all these other things that nobody believes happens, even though there's declassified documents like the assassination of Kennedy or all these other conspiracy theories, right? The government documents things. And we know that the confidential human source program of the FBI documents their illegal authorizations for confidential human sources to commit felonies, violence, whatever, right? This information exists. So that is the number one key pot of information that, if exposed, will be a death blow to the idea that January 6th being a Fed insurrection is a conspiracy theory. It will fully reveal the extent of how long that operation was in the planning and the works, right? And they're going to try to prevent this information from being exposed by claiming it's tied to national security, by issuing unconstitutional protective orders or gag orders like they've done in my case, or they're going to claim, oh, well, this would reveal sources and methods, okay? But the FBI's confidential human source program is illegal and violates the United States Constitution. Their sources are liars and their methods are lies. So now that I've exposed that, there's nothing they can use to cover it up. So that is the first bucket of information. The second bucket of information is going to be the footage of January 6th. Now, see, we always can reveal where the truth about compartmentalized operations are by going to the areas they're trying to deflect us from. So the fact that they have tried to cover up or phase release the footage or claim, oh, well, this few thousand we've got to keep secret. No. All of the footage should be released because all of the footage will create a common operating picture and will show the American people that the narrative is completely false. And it will confirm many of the observations of which there, we've already seen some of them, right? Some of the things are already out there, like MPD having undercover agents not only acting as Trump supporters, but also acting as Antifa, even though Congress said Antifa wasn't there or doesn't exist, whatever the lie was for the day, right? So the videos are key, and the American people need to crowdsource their efforts by going through them. No one person is going to be able to go through 45 to 50,000 hours of security footage. And experts need to look at them because the lay person might not know what they're looking for. But I can tell you this. I know what I'm looking for when I watch them, and it's not, I'm not looking for me. I'm looking for the telltale signs of undercover agents, undercover human sources, the coordination in a military-style operation, and that video will expose these things. Okay, and then the last group of information will be the whistleblowers and the witnesses. These whistleblowers and witnesses will be the confirmation through what we call in the business dual source reporting. We will be able to take the information exposed by the confidential human source materials. We will be able to verify that through the video footage. And then the whistleblowers from inside of these government agents, to include the Department of Defense, the intelligence community, as well as federal law enforcement agencies and DC, Metro, Capitol Police, all of these observations, all of this information will come together and provide a circumstantial preponderance of evidence that this was a federal operation. And you can claim all day long that that's just crazy, right? If you're a member of Congress and you're listening to this and you're thinking, well, that wouldn't happen, really? Ever hear of what was it, a crossfire hurricane? If you don't believe that there is a war waging, a shadow war spoken about by John F. Kennedy, if you do not believe that this war is waging under the surface and that just because you don't know about it, it's not happening, well, then you are a fool in the biblical Proverbs definition of the word fool. And so those three areas, right? If you are a witness, if you are a member of an agency or an army or navy or special operator that was on the ground because you were told you were doing something else, because that's also how compartmentalized operations work. the individual players think they may be doing something else, when in reality, they're doing something totally different that they're not even read in on, right? So if you are one of these people, you need to speak up. You exist, and you're silenced through fear of defamation, fear of being discredited, or just outright intimidation that you're going to lose your job, you're going to lose your pension, that you're going to be harassed or arrested. You have got to stand up, because we need you to say, yeah, yeah, that's what happened. Just like the officers in the video played by Laura Logan in her chronicle, where you hear the officers say, we were effing set up. We were effing set up. And another officer confirms by saying, absolutely. So there are officers that were on the ground that day, in their own words, caught on body cams, knowing that there wasn't something right. And they're right. He made an observation. He was set up. Does he know by who? No. Will we ever know by who? Probably not. But what we do know is that his observation is true. And we can tie that in to all of these other observations, tie it in with the documentation, and tie it in with the video footage. We show the American people that January 6th is not what they claim it was, and it is actually an attack against the American people. And if we do not do it soon, we will lose the America that we're all born in.
Amen. Amen. Round of applause, ladies and gentlemen. Round of applause. These are the facts.
Don't clap too loud, because then they'll find you.
These are the facts that we need to arm ourselves with to be able to get through this next year. 2024 is a year where the truth and arming ourselves with God's truth, which is sovereign, is going to get us through. And I also want to say something to the federal judges and prosecutors out there. It is also your duty to get down to...
You have 1 minute remaining.
And stop destroying people's lives when you have your own questions. You're not looking beyond the surface. You're looking at these indictments, which are full of lies. They're about 20% of the 100% story. And you're continuing to allow miscarriages of justice happening in your courtrooms when we know that through testimonials, through circumstantial evidence, through whistleblowers coming forward, through Massey with the ghost buses and over 200 federal agents in the crowd, that there is something deeper happening, and that the incitement and the entrapment of the American people on January 6th was real. So stop sending people to prison for 12 years. Stop destroying lives and ripping fathers away from their children. It's disgusting. Jeremy, we're going to bring you back for one more segment. We'll wrap things up. God bless you, brother. You're an American hero, and I appreciate your boldness under fire, brother. It's great. It's inspiring.
Let's hold all titles until the end of the battle.
Hey, guys. Welcome back to the Political Prisoner Podcast. It's your host, Jake Lang. Where are you guys watching today? If you're watching on Gateway Pundit and reading the article, we are really grateful for you guys. You've been the greatest supporter of the Jan Sixers. All in all, literally, people would be starving. We wouldn't have any lawyers without you guys. We wouldn't be getting letters at Patriot Mail Project. We love you guys so much. Thank you so much. Share this article with your friends. Tweet this article at your congressmen, the ones that we mentioned. Take the article link, tweet it at them, post it on your Instagram, post it on everywhere you can, and really make this go viral and share that out. Also, the show is also available on blessednewstv.com. All the Political Prisoner podcasts are on there, right on the homepage. If you go to blessednewstv.com, you'll be able to find it. We're back now live. Jeremy Brown, American hero, patriot extraordinaire, 17 years in the Green Beret, political prisoner, joins me from his gulag in Florida. And I want to give the American people a breakdown of really just how surreptitious and disgusting this government can be when they're trying to silence somebody who knows information as vital as yours is. So Jeremy has misdemeanor charges for January 6th, right? Because we just discussed with the Oath Keepers how they're trying to sweep him under the rug and, you know, overcharge the other guys. We'll keep the guy who has all of the experience and information completely out of the public eye. And So what did they do? They charged, they trumped up charges, I mean, completely fabricated evidence and planted evidence on Jeremy in a federal case in out of Tampa, Florida. So give the people a quick breakdown of this, because this is what the government does to somebody when they want to silence them. They keep them out of the main Jan 6 case while throwing all this, I mean, heinous nonsense at you that you're now sitting and serving an 87-month sentence for in federal prison in Florida.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Look, September 29th of 2021, 9 months after January 6th, the FBI's Joint Terrorism Task Force, under seal, gets one judge to issue an arrest warrant for two misdemeanor counts of knowingly being in a restricted area, and the other one is the disorderly conduct within proximity of the vice president or whatever, right? The 1752 charges, right? That misdemeanor arrest warrant is kept under seal. Now, why does the government request to keep something under seal? Because they're like, oh, if this is exposed, the person might be a flight risk. They might flee, okay? So I might flee from two misdemeanor counts of trespassing, right? See, the normal procedure would be to simply call me and say, Mr. Brown, this is Special Agent so-and-so with the FBI. We have a warrant for your arrest for two misdemeanors, and we need you to turn yourself in at 10 o'clock Park. No, not in Jerry Brown's case. In Jerry Brown's case, we have the arrest warrant. We have it under seal so that Jeremy Brown, who apparently is attempting to flee the FBI by being at his house 9 months after the fact, he can't find out that he has misdemeanors because he will skip the country, right? Meanwhile, they cross the hall or go wherever they go to another judge just minutes later and file a search warrant. But the search warrant is for totally different charges. It does include the two trespassing charges, but it includes conspiracy, the transportation of explosives, and another charge, transporting explosives to use in disorderly conduct or whatever, right? Serious charges. These are the justifications they use. What was that? I'm sorry, did you say something?
They first these two things, which is clearly just a mechanism to stifle you, wrap you up in criminal charges, put you in prison, you know, make it so you can't really reach the American people. Well, they completely railroad the other oath keepers for their January 6th charges. They throw this at you to basically tie you up in a loop and keep your information hidden so that you're, you know, facing,
of course,
you know.
So this search warrant, they utilize to search my property and then claim that they found two M67 grenades in my RV. They claim that they found classified materials, and then they claim that they found two illegal weapons, which are clearly protected under the Second Amendment of the United States Constitution. From the very onset, in fact, this is chronicled in the jail calls I made to my girlfriend initially. This is chronicled in the video of the arrest. I knew that this was coming. Remember, in March, 7 months prior to this day, I knew when I went public against the FBI, I knew exactly what I was going to be up against because, see, I've worked with the FBI's Joint Terrorism Task Force on foreign soil and in some cases on American soil. So I knew exactly who I was up against. And so I said from the very beginning, the minute I learned that they claimed that they had grenades, I said, this is an expletive, right? BS, right? This is BS. But we knew that this was going to happen, right? This is what I tell my girlfriend on recorded jail calls, okay? I have maintained this since from arrest all the way through the very beginning. Months before the FBI's own DNA evidence confirmed exactly what I said. Months before the military logistical tracking of explosives confirmed exactly what I was saying, which is that those grenades, the only tie that those grenades have to me is that the FBI says that I possess them, right? And so my defense all along was that this is planted evidence in retaliation for me exposing the recording of the FBI. Now, this is how they do it. Just like we discussed earlier, the FBI officials and attorney general, they will lie or obfuscate when asked does the FBI commit criminal activities or have confidential human services, right? They'll lie and they'll say, DOJ prosecutors at trial not only denied that this could even be a possibility, but then mocked the idea by totally throwing out a ridiculous scenario, claiming to the jury that my claim was that the agents that I recorded planted the grenade because they were upset at me. I've never said that. That is a ridiculous claim. But see, they do that intentionally to obfuscate, to distract away. You make a ridiculous claim because the actual claim you can't actually dispute. And then they confirm that the FBI did so many illegal activities through the Confidential Human Source Program that they literally have an annual report due to chronicle how many illegal activities they commit. And so this is what they do. They want us all to believe the CBS, NBC, ABC, FBI television shows me that always paint the FBI as the heroes, when in reality, they are simply an organized crime syndicate that is carrying out domestic terrorism against the American people on a daily basis, right? By their own admissions in their own documents, right? In mainstream news, they report how the FBI violates American First Amendment and Fourth Amendment rights through illegal surveillance and intimidation by unholy alliances with tech companies through the illegal monitoring. That is a violation of federal law, and that is how the FBI operates. And that's exactly how they've operated as it pertains to January 6th.
It's par for the course. We have a federalized police force that's gone rogue and rounding up enemies of the Democrat Party, enemies of constitutional republic that they say they're protecting, but truly we're the supporters and the stalwarts of such a beautiful constitution. And they're the enemies. They point the finger.
Jake, real quick, let me correct you. The FBI has not gone rogue, okay? The FBI has always been rogue. They were founded as a rogue political secret police. J. Edgar Hoover, when he wasn't dressing like a woman, utilized the FBI to collect information on his political enemies from both parties. This is proven in the Church Committee hearings from the 70s. Where COINTELPRO was exposed, as well as all of the illegal CIA operations were exposed. It has never stopped. It has only gotten worse under the claim that we now need the FBI to help us fight the global war on terrorism. Okay? The FBI is not a law enforcement agency. They are an organized criminal syndicate that is conducting, by definition, look it up, by definition, they commit domestic terrorism every single day against the American people.
Redline the FBI. Representatives, if you have a spine in that spinal column of yours, redline the FBI. Remove the funding from this Gestapo group that has been kicking down people's doors in the middle of the night and dragging thousands of Americans out of their homes and throwing them in gulags for protesting a stolen election on January 6th. They're attacking Catholics. They're attacking people who protest outside abortion clinics. They're attacking mothers at school board meetings. And this is just the beginning of the persecution. They're doing so much more behind the scenes in gathering the intel, listening in, manipulating elections, manipulating social media data to help all of these globalists really, undermine American way of life. So, Jeremy, last couple questions here before we wrap it up.
You have 1 minute left.
I want to know about we'll bring in another topic or another segment here, but I want to know about how you've been hanging on and how you've been doing down there in Florida. Talk to me.
You have now. 1 minute remaining.
I've been moved to 13 different prisons.
The bottom line is that I'm on a mission. Way lower down on the mission plan is me obtaining my freedom. My key is to expose this criminal activity and expose how the judicial system does not provide justice at all, that it is not what we see on the television, that is completely broken and needs to be fixed. Otherwise, we will never meet the preamble requirement of establishing justice in our founders.
Amen. Amen. All right, we'll bring you back. Jeremy's going
Thank
to say
you for
a prayer
using Securus.
Over the Jan
Goodbye.
Sixers. And over the Jan Sixers and over this country. And thank you guys for listening to the Political Prisoner Podcast. It's your host, Jake Lang. I'll be right back with Jeremy Brown. Hey, guys. Welcome back to the Political Prisoner Podcast. It's your host, Jake Lang. Got my brother, Jeremy Brown, still here with us. We're going to do this final segment, guys. I'm going to give Jeremy the floor just to summarize all his thoughts about January 6th and what he wants you guys to do moving forward, the American people, our community of patriots, how you guys can get intricately involved in this movement and make a real impact and change to help free us. I mean, that's the goal, right? Vindicate the Jan Sixers and save this republic from another monstrous term of tyranny in 2024. So, Jeremy, my brother, give us your final wrap-up.
Yeah, I mean, look, the reality is I'm less concerned about me being free, and I'm more concerned about confronting the enemy that faces our nation, and that is this infiltration of our federal government. And then once that infiltration has taken place, of which it has, now the weapons of the military, the intelligence community, and the federal law enforcement bureaucracy are being turned against the American people in this stealth war. And so as a result of victory, we will achieve our freedom. I mean, at the end of any war, the POWs are typically released as part of the victory. And so my main concern is that the American people awaken to what is actually happening around them. And so that's my constant message. And like we spoke about before, you know, there are some key elements that are going to help to bring responsibility and accountability to the responsible. The number one main key element, like we spoke about before, is the confidential human source materials, right? All of the answers to what the FBI and even the military did as a result or as a lead up to January 6th will be found in that information, of which the FBI and the Department of Justice are desperately trying to hide. The second is a thorough analysis of the videos from January 6th and a constant demand that none of it be sequestered, because they're even still trying to now set aside a few thousand hours of video, claiming, oh, well, this video reveals some type of national security. Look, a 1,000-pound bomb can be dropped on the United States Congress without help from any video that exists, right? So the claim of national security to cover up information is ridiculous, and it should not be tolerated. So a careful analysis of all of this video that has been desperately attempted to also be hidden from the American people is the second bucket of information that we need to be demanding as citizens. And then the third is we need to have more whistleblowers, whether they are participants in this compartmentalized operation, whether witting or unwitting, right? Well, you know, Capitol police officers who on the day of January 6th knew something was going wrong, we need those officers to step forward, right? I don't care if you're a Democrat. I don't care if you're a Republican. Both groups are as foolish as the other, okay? This is not about politics. This is about open warfare against Americans, whether you're Democrat or Republican, okay? I mean, read some history, folks. There was no spared side when Mao took over China. There was no spared side during the communist revolution in Russia, okay? Once one side was taken out, they just simply turned the guns on the other side, because you cannot leave those behind who were your rabble-rousers or whatever. So we have to break this mindset that it's Democrat-Republican. That is the mindset they want us in, And if we don't break it, we're going to continue to be fooled. So Capitol Police officers, Metro PD officers, federal agents, military personnel that were on the ground, citizens, contractors, anyone who was there to make observations on January 6th, you must come out of hiding, okay? You cannot sit by and remain silent. I mean, hell, if Ray Epps would just come clean, it would be a huge leap forward in getting to the bottom of this. Because I will tell you, there is room for forgiveness for those that make the right decision, even as late as 3 years after the fact. But the bottom line is, we have to get to the bottom of this. We will very unlikely ever get to the bottom of every aspect of it, because that is the nature and intent behind compartmentalized operations. But these whistleblowers and those that were there that have been living in fear for 3 years because the FBI hasn't knocked on their door yet, or maybe the FBI has knocked on your door and they've said, you know, you really should keep quiet. I mean, we'll let you vote for now, but, you know, in essence, don't piss us off or we'll be back here to put you through the same things that we put Jeremy Brown and Jake Lang and all of these other people through, right? You have to step forward. We need courageous truth seekers to help wake up the American people. Because, look, no matter how many people we have on board now that are saying to themselves, you know, I kind of feel like the American government might be involved in January 6th, right? It's not anywhere near enough, right? Because at the end of the day, an overwhelming majority of the American people don't have a clue about anything, about any topic, about, I mean, there's more people that watch football on a daily basis in one form or another, or basketball or baseball or hockey, than there are people that pay attention to the news. But if we do not reach some type of critical mass around the truth, we're never going to get to the bottom of this, and we're never going to be able to stave off this invasion of our country. Because make no mistake, America is a global target. We are a barrier to what the global elites want, what every tyrannical form of government, every empire has ever wanted, and that is to take over the world. I mean, hell, Pinky and the Brain discussed this, right? What are we going to do today, Brain? We're going to try to take over the world, right? This is what evil people want, whether it was the Romans, whether it was Genghis Khan, whether it was the British Crown, right? There's always a desire to conquer the world. And there is an active and overt effort to do this. I mean, look at the World Economic Forum. But see, American sovereignty.
Minute remaining.
American sovereignty is the barrier to this World Economic Forum, you'll own nothing and be happy mindset. And so we have to restore American liberty for the sake of the rest of the world. So if you want to help support me in this fight to expose this, you can go to jeremybrowndefense.com. You can also read my 11th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals brief, which gives a very good summary of what lengths the government has gone to keep me quiet.
Phenomenal, Jeremy. I mean, absolutely, brother. You speak with so much poise and with so much power. It's a really surprise you didn't win your... in the near future, guys. If you want to listen to more of Jeremy Brown, he's got a podcast called The Fusion Cell. That's available on blessednewstv.com. It's phenomenal, just like everything Jeremy does. He puts his whole heart into it. We're doing these podcasts from our prison cells. Please support us. Guys, go to Jeremy's. It's going to be in the bio, in the link in the bio, to help him out on his GiveSendGo, jeremybrowndefense.com. To donate to his GiveSendGo. And we're going to really just be looking forward to what God does in 2024 for the Jan Fixers and to wake up this country. I'm sticking here right with you guys every single second of it. We're going to be fighting. No plea deals, no surrender, no backing down. We're blessed by God to be in this fight shoulder to shoulder as Americans. I'm blessed by God to know my brother Jeremy and all the Jan Fixers. We stand with you guys. We love you all. Thank you all. This third year anniversary of January 6th is very important to get involved, as Jeremy said. be vocal. Tweet, text, email, even call your representatives. Just be. I mean, we need to 100%. Thank you so much. My name's Jake Lang. God bless y'all. Wow, Jeremy, absolutely phenomenal, brother. Thank you so much for joining me today. Your voice is going to reach tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people out there, and I'm just praying that God puts it on their heart that they move with action. You know, our founding fathers, when they framed the Constitution, they didn't frame it for a bunch of sissies. They framed it for men and women of action. And so, guys, please go to Jeremy's GiveSendGo at jeremybrowndefense.com. Support him there. You can also watch his podcast, The Fusion Cell. No pun intended. Maybe there was a pun intended there. On blessednewstv.com, Jeremy Brown's podcast is now available on blessednewstv.com. We're just so grateful for everybody that listens from the Gateway Pundit and Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Bless News. You guys truly make this suffering and this challenge that we're facing bearable because of the love, support, and prayers of everybody out there. I'm going to end us with a prayer because Jeremy had to go, and we like to finish off every Political Prisoner podcast episode with a prayer, especially January 6th being today, actually. This is very important for our nation to come together around this, what was the greatest protest in American history, but now a tragedy. Because not because of what transpired on January 6th, other than the four deaths, God forbid, that was a tragedy, but the rounding up of American political prisoners in the aftermath has really marred this day to being one of, you know, filled with sadness. But for me, I remember January 6th as a day of victory, as a day of free men standing against tyranny, and so I believe history will also recall that day historically as exactly what it was, a day where liberty had a shining beacon of light, and the people once again were inside the people's house, not a bunch of corrupt globalist communist politicians selling our country down the river. So guys, let's bow our head. Father God, Lord, thank you for your grace and mercy today on the three-year anniversary of January 6th, Lord God. We just sit in your presence knowing that there is such a massive and divine purpose through all the struggle, through all the persecution, through all of the hardship and the torture, Lord God, that you've allowed your people to go through, not to destroy us, but to make us stronger, to purify our faith, to strengthen us by trial by fire, Lord God. As you've done, you've baptized so many of your children inside the prisons. By fire.
You have 1 minute remaining.
And so, Father, we're just we're looking up to you to continue to lead this battle, because even though January 6th was a physical conflict in many ways, in many millions times more, it was a spiritual battle that played itself out, good versus evil, light versus darkness. And so, God, we're leaning into your Son Jesus again to lead us through these perilous times in this country, and that he would just remain and even take even greater hold of our hearts in every single person, those who believe and those who have yet to come to know him. Lord God, do yourself to America today and continue to strengthen the January 6ers and our supporters, Lord God, for the battles that are ahead. We know, God, that this year you will vindicate us. 2024 will be our year of vindication, and we speak that in a prophetic. We speak that in your name, Jesus Christ. We love you, God, and it's in your name we pray. Amen. Thank you, God.